Evan Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
Hamas is a ruthless terrorist organization. It wants to sacrifice its own people. It uses them as human shields. Israel is not obliged and is not going to let a terrorist organization fire at our cities, at our people.
Fighting for Idaho.
This all has to start with securing the border, not writing the president a blank check to keep doing what he's doing that's not working. Wouldn't it be good to actually allow the governors of those border states to be able to call the National Guard and help secure the border?
Fighting for you.
She reaches down into her bra, which I'm cool with that. That part's okay. Sort of sexy.
This is a family value show.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
It's something I'll never forget as long as I live.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
705, Kevin Miller in the Morning here, 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Tough to believe what's still going on in Israel. We'll have the very latest on that. We'll also catch up with Dave Petzo. He'll join us as we move along. But you imagine living in a neighborhood where we're sitting here and you're outside having a cup of tea, minding your own business, and boom, something comes up out of the ground, a hidden hatch, if you will, and you see a bunch of thugs, a bunch of gangsters coming out and robbing and pillaging. Well, that's really what's going on in Israel, and maybe it's tough for us to relate to it because we haven't seen the Israeli tragedies, and there would be thousands of Israeli tragedies if Hamas had their way. If Hamas had their way when we're talking about killing Israelis with these rockets. But thankfully, they have the Iron Dome missile defense system. So Israel goes into Gaza, goes into this area, and finds that the concrete, the building supplies that they've been giving these folks, so they can have decent homes, so they can have a decent life, have been used to build these tunnels where they've been used to kill and harm and kidnap Israelis. And we about the Palestinian injuries and such. Well, when you put a missile factory or launch missiles from hospitals and schools, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen indeed. Coming up this hour, we'll have the very latest on that, plus your thoughts and this.
House Republicans have cleared the way for a vote to sue the president for failing to implement the Affordable Care Act the way it was written. On Fox News Sunday, House Majority Whip Steve Scalise blamed the Obama administration for impeachment talk.
You know, this might be the first White House in history that's trying to start the narrative of impeaching their own president.
He says they're not backing down.
We've made it clear we're going to put options on the table to allow the House to take legal action against the president when he overreaches his authority.
And cites a Supreme Court ruling.
The Supreme Court unanimously, I'm not talking about a 5-4 decision, 9-0 unanimously said the president overreached. So we're going to continue to be a check and a balance against this administration.
Democrats call the lawsuit a political maneuver. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News Radio.
So forget what the Constitution says. They're going to take the president to court. We'll have the very latest on that between now and 8 o'clock. Dave Petzo joins us from the Petzo Center. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Good to see you.
Good to see you 2 days in a row, actually.
Well, 2 out of 3.
2 out of 3. I just love it when people correct me. Of course, I need a lot of correcting here at 580KIDO. What's the big story as we wake up and start our week when we're talking about the markets?
Well, right now, every Monday we've had coming in the last, feels like several years, is there's mergers being announced, and corporations are buying each other, and there's a bunch of them again today. So every Monday you come in, you're going to find more mergers. And this is something that people have to understand when it comes to why does the market keep going higher. Well, one of the reasons is obviously the corporations are buying their own stock back, but they're also buying each other. And that's exactly what's been going on, and it is happening today.
Dave, is that good really for America, where we have, American Airlines being bought by U.S. Air or vice versa?
Yep.
You know, the corporations may become efficient, some would say ruthlessly efficient, mm-hmm. but people have to work.
They do. And Kevin, in some cases, no. It means it's going to be cost cutting in the form of fewer jobs. Generally speaking, though, as corporations do sell for higher valuations, that's good overall for, quotes, capitalism, for wealth creation, and so on. It also tends to leave room for smaller ones that can come in behind and maybe pick up a little bit of a niche there. Not everybody likes to do business with the giant local or I'm sorry, the giant global corporations. They like local. And so sometimes when these mergers come, they also leave room, a little bit of room, for a little niche player to start up and grow. But you bring up a good point, Kevin. Typically, initially, there's going to be job cuts, things like that. Stores will get closed that don't make sense because of overlap. And so, but again, generally speaking, it's good for business.
Well, you remember that movie, Other People's Money, with Danny DeVito? A classic in the late 80s where he said, I don't really care about jobs, I care about the shareholders.
Right.
A classic movie. So you have people that are designed, you know, their job is to help the company to get the value going. But on the other hand, we take a look at the jobs in this country, the job situation. You've talked about it for many, many years at Money Matters, the idea that the we really can't trust the unemployment rate because, it's telling us one thing, but it's actually much, much more.
Well, it is. You know, as you know, Kevin, I talk about the U6 unemployment rate, not the stated one. And the U6 is the unemployed, the underemployed, meaning people that are working part-time but certainly need and want a full-time job. And most importantly in that are the people that have flat given up. They say, I'm not in the job. I'm not even looking for one anymore because I can't find one. And when you take those all together, that's been stubbornly high, Kevin. It's not come down. And that's one of the reasons the payroll receipts, which we talk about the unemployment situation getting better, I'd like to know who is saying how that's getting better and why when you have lower payroll receipts year over year. And that's what the circumstance we're in right now. So meaning overall payroll that's being taxed is, in fact, no higher than it was a year ago. That's not a better unemployment rate. That's the same, if not worse.
What do you tell people today, Dave Petso, knower of all things here at 580KIDO? I had a chance to go to the emergency room just to do a tour, because I always want to take a look at things. People say, you want to really know what's going on, go to the emergency room of some hospitals. And I had a chance to do that, just kind of hang out in the lobby for a couple hours at a time. And I noticed that those folks, unlike people in business and other places, they really have no fear about their jobs because healthcare seems to be exploding in a good way.
I don't know. It is, but that's where people are getting care, and you shouldn't be getting care in emergency rooms. It's incredibly expensive. Unfortunately, Kevin, the amount of reimbursement is somewhere around 20% for emergency room physicians. And you take those kind of numbers and you realize that this is a very, very serious problem because people are getting care in the emergency room that don't have health care. And so they're seeking out not as good cost options, if you will. And we all need them there. I know that in the past we've taken our kids to the emergency room, and who hasn't at one time or another? So there, it's important to have them there. It is a very poor source of health care. I don't think it's good at all.
I guess to my broader point, though, the health industry seems to be the only thing growing in this country.
Oh, yeah. Well, but I don't, again, to your broader point, you're right. Health care is doing very well, and the health care companies are doing very well. Growth is occurring there. I don't think that's good. It's not a net add-on into our society. If we could have healthcare that was only there for healthcare, learning new techniques, discovering new drugs, that would be awesome, and it would be fantastic. But we have got a situation now where I don't know the exact percentage, but it's very close to half the people are not giving care now. They are doing paperwork. They're pushing paper.
Right.
That's how much the regulations have got, how silly it is. One doctor needs a staff of four or five just to take care of that one doctor. This has gotten so out of hand with the bureaucratic nature and trying to get reimbursements done.
It has, but when you take a look at, what to tell young people today, what to tell people now that are searching, what
right.
fields do you go into? Where, I mean, in the old days, it could be manufacturing, it could be this, it could be that.
Yep.
Now it seems a lot more challenging to figure out where the jobs are going to be.
I totally agree. It's computers. You need to go into computer design. Nursing is another one that's doing real well. Kevin, I totally agree. Go into healthcare as a parent, you'd have to say that's got a decent looking pathway in the future.
Dave Petzl with us here at 580KIDO. So we've kind of gotten sidetracked when we're talking about the future of this. So we're looking at mergers. What about government regulation? I know you're a big fan of government regulation, but the idea of sometimes these companies get too big, and could we have companies that are too big that could actually hurt the industries, hurt the consumer.
Oh, absolutely, they do, and that's why you have antitrust regulation. You go back to the early 1900s when the trust busters came along, and they busted up all these big trusts where you really had too big of companies controlling markets. So there are times when companies do get way too big, and they were, totally dominated by one company, one man usually, right? And so it made absolute sense to break them up. Nowadays, Kevin, when we do these mergers and all, it's, for example, you'll see in the American Airlines merger that you just talked about, they had to give up routes. They had to give up gates. There's no way they're going to let them completely dominate one particular market. So they do make sure, even in these deals, which ones, which markets are going to be impacted negatively, and then they make the companies deal with it.
Dave Petzl with us here at 580 KIDO. So we're looking at mergers. What else are we looking at during the last week of July this week for the markets?
Well, this week coming up, actually, it's going to be fairly interesting, I think, underneath what's normally dull. I mean, it is. We're in the doldrums of summer, as you and I have talked many times. The market isn't particularly exciting all on its own, but you've got compelling outside forces with the compelling, meaning big, outside forces with what's going on in Russia, what's going on in the Middle East, pushing global concerns into a market that's dealing with literally the fundamental concerns of one company over another, meaning the earnings announcements are still coming out huge. So we've got all these earnings coming out, coupled with the concerns of what's going on globally. And so the market underneath is not boring at all. It's actually has some big moves. Amazon was down 40 points last week in a day when their earnings numbers were not good.
Right.
So we're seeing some individual activity within a really boring market. But individually, Kevin, we were seeing a lot of moves out there. And then, of course, on Friday, we get the jobs number, which is usually causes a lot of hyperventilating on Wall Street.
Should it?
No, it shouldn't.
Why?
It's one number. And then next month we'll change that number. We'll modify that number. They modify it two more times. So it isn't the number. It's the best guess at the number. I think we get too carried away with the number, one number, and especially when we're talking about the unemployment rate, which, as you and I have talked, I think the U6 is the only thing that makes any sense to measure.
More coming up with Dave Petzl next. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Right, you know, I've been saving this up, and I've been telling everybody I was going to get Dave Petzl today. Now, are we going to get Dave Petzl? I don't know. But, Dave, the markets are going up, and I ask this question every week, very similar to when we first met, and every week was the housing market. And go, God, is this guy ever going to talk about anything but houses and debt?
And you did. You moved right to the Chinese.
Yes, exactly. Evolved, de-evolved, I don't know. How in the world can you explain the markets are blowing up, we're printing money? And it was funny because I was talking to myself on a show, and I go, well, Dave Petzl said this, 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 and this. We've talked about this so much, I actually articulate your points counter to the ones I'm making.
There you go. Good. Okay.
But the idea that we're printing all this money, and if I misquoted you, please correct me, that we're never going to pay it back.
That's right. We're not.
So won't we crash? Won't, they take away your house if that happens.
Well, they do. We're not going to pay it back. We have to pay debt to a certain degree. Now, what people have to understand is when we're talking about buying the bonds, which is what people are talking about for this printing of money.
Sure.
Okay. I worry about the deficit. I don't worry about what the Fed's doing as much. I worry that we're going to, you know, it's going to be messier than we would like it to be when we come out the other side. But I think it's this idea that it's a big fussy thing that they have $4.5 trillion on the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve. It is, but they don't ever have to sell a bond back that they had bought. They can just let them run off. Meaning, Kevin, they don't have to go out and sell this $4.5 trillion like some people claim, and then all of a sudden the market is, you know, interest rates spike unbelievably. They just simply hold them and receive interest payments over time. Bonds go away. As they mature, they just simply expire and go away. So it can be, and that's what the Fed has said, we're just going to let these run off. And right now we're tapering down towards a point where they're not a bond buyer, a net bond buyer at all. It's very small.
Okay, how do you respond to a lot of people that are billionaires that have made a lot of money that believe that the good times cannot continue?
I don't know what their point is.
Well, their point being that Yellen is going to have a crash.
Well, and I don't know, because there's some, you know, which billionaire agrees with me is the billionaire I want to quote, right? And so we all have that confirmation bias when we're out there. I'm not sure which ones. I think that are worried about it. I think people should worry all the time when we're doing different things. This is a different thing. So far, she and before her, the two he's are doing a pretty decent job of getting us through this. We haven't had a catastrophe. It's going okay. And
is that the new norm? Just okay?
Yeah, I think it is, actually. Yeah, I think there are a couple things that you and I have talked about before.
Right.
Get the government out of the way. I think regulation is the biggest issue that we have before us.
Yes,
starting
you're a big
business.
Fan of the government, yeah.
What's that?
You're a big fan of the government, yes.
Yeah, I want bigger. Bigger is better. Not in this case, it's not.
Right.
But anyway, no, I think we've got to, that we could have it, but under the current circumstances, no. With an anti-business circumstance that we have with healthcare, that we have with energy in our own country, if you get the government out of the way and you encourage those two industries, or I should say don't discourage people with overwhelming healthcare, I think you could very well not have this be the new norm. We could explode again.
Right, and we always talk about energy and everything else. Dave Petzl with us here, Kevin Miller, 580KIDO. Before we get to that, though, how big of a hit are we going to take when the Obamacare mechanisms kick in that have been delayed for a year or two?
I don't know. He'll probably kick the can down the road. It'll happen right after he gets out of office. And at that point, I think it'll depend very much on the makeup of what the Congress looks like. If it's heavily Republican, and I would anticipate it would be, there might be some real opportunities to work with the White House, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat in the White House, and put some real fixes in there, because it is beyond devastating where we're heading with this thing. It is absolutely going to bankrupt this country. There's no question about it. Or, which is really the biggest problem with it, it will become just like the VA, where it is simply allocated out, and that's all you can do, because we just don't have enough resources for it.
From a corporation's point of view, do you think that they're going to eventually kick everybody out, make it so untenable that you will have to go into the exchanges?
I think that was obviously the overriding goal. I mean, I don't think they even try to hide that anymore, do they? And now they're wishing they didn't, that wasn't the ultimate goal, because they can't make it work. It simply is not working. It won't work. And because young people have to sign up that are healthy and never use it and pay way more than they should. And that's really a system designed to be, are you kidding me? People can be patriotic as they want to be, but the idea that I am going to go pay more than I should in order to have other people pay a lot less than they should is really not something that gets people fired up to do that for the next 30 years.
What about energy?
Energy is unbelievable. It's amazing how much they've worked around, both with technology and on private lands, how much they've worked around this administration, which has done everything they can to destroy this incredible wealth that this country has. Absolutely amazing. And, I'm all for clean air. By the way, the air is cleaner than when I was a kid. Wasn't supposed to be. I grew up knowing for a fact about all these global warming things. We all did. We had saw film strips of factual knowledge that we would be looking at the orange days ahead of us.
Film strips,
smoke filled, yes. And you couldn't swim in anything. Oh yeah, whoops, that was. Oh, sorry. I guess it all worked out okay. But then we go on to the next. It won't work. Look, everybody wants clean air. We want magic cars that just fly around without using any energy. But we need a bridge to that position, and our country has it, and it certainly is cheaper. It certainly is better if we get it here, and it's a lot safer environmentally than shipping it all the way across the world and paying people that hate us a bunch of money.
What about oil companies? Is that the safest place to put your money in?
That's one of the safest, but it, you know, it's, they're just big energy companies. I think, you know, when you're talking about great corporations of the world, why not some of the consumer companies as well that'll outlive us, the Procter & Gambles of the world as well?
You're a big fan of Procter & Gamble.
Well, just because it's a fun story because everybody has their products in their house.
Right.
But no, for a full disclosure, I own some, I'm sure, through some mutual funds I have, but I don't have any personal holdings in Procter & Gamble anymore.
You see, this is what we like about you, always making sure you're ethically ready to go.
Well, that's very kind of you to say.
Well, that makes one of us here. One of us here.
Dave, you are the most ethical guy I know. You live it, Kevin.
I do, and we're all better off for that. Anything else you'd like to share with us today?
No, I'm good. I'm good, Kevin. We went all the way around the horn. Next week, we got to talk Chinese, okay? Because it's been – I need a Chinese lesson from you.
Chinese fix, a little housing maybe, the old days.
Oh. Yeah.
All right, Dave Pezzo, you can catch him at the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial, Saturdays 8 to 10 at 580KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO. Welcome to Monday. Stay cool as the triple digits roll into the Treasure Valley. Boy, someone who could probably relate to that. Kimberly Adams joins us from Fox News Radio in Cairo. Kimberly, good morning.
Good morning, and yes, I can definitely relate to the temperature.
I tell you, it's been a while, so boy, not a lot going on where you are.
No. Calmest part of the world, I tell you.
Now, in your travels, what's it like living in Egypt? We've gotten the Israeli perspective. We take a look, kind of a look at what's going on in Gaza. What is Egypt feeling, thinking, doing concerning what's going on in Gaza with the Israelis and Hamas?
It's a really interesting place to be right now because the position of the Egyptian government versus the position of the Egyptian people is quite unique. So it's important to realize that Egypt used to play quite a strong negotiating role between Israel and Hamas when it came to these ceasefire agreements. But now that Egypt has removed its Islamist president last year, the military government really hates Hamas and has been actively engaged in destroying Hamas tunnels, including 13 of them just past weekend, and also really going after militants in the Sinai that are linked with Hamas. And so that, along with Egypt continuing to maintain its state along with Israel of the Gaza Strip, makes people in Gaza and many Egyptian citizens view this as if Egypt is on the side of Israel in this conflict, which is not a popular position to be in this part of the world. Additionally, when I go out and I talk to Egyptian people about this story and about what's going on in Gaza, they also are drawing a distinction between the civilians living in Gaza and Hamas. A lot of people do view Hamas as a terrorist group and as a militant influence that needs to be removed, but still at the same time are extremely angry at Israel for the high numbers of civilians that have been killed in this conflict. And they place most of the blame for the Hamas militancy and the rise of that group in the Gaza Strip on Israel for the conditions in Gaza.
Kimberly Adams joining us live from Cairo, Egypt at 580KIDO. How safe is it for you?
It's quite safe for me. There were some dodgy times over the past year and a half after the removal of the president. There were a lot of violent protests and a lot of crackdowns that led to a lot of deaths, a lot of arrests. There are many, many people in jail, including Egypt has convicted several foreign journalists of helping terrorists as a result of doing their jobs here. And they've all been sentenced to about 7 years in prison for reporting here. The government has made it quite clear that they are not going to tolerate very much public dissent.
What about as far as the mood on the ground concerning the Muslim Brotherhood? At one time, Kimberly, these folks were in power. Now they're not. And from what I understand, they are Hamas, right?
They have some ties to Hamas. They're quite different. The Muslim Brotherhood, unlike Hamas, distanced itself from violence several decades ago and said they would no longer use violence as a tool for political gain. And they were actually democratically elected following Egypt's revolution. They won majorities in parliament. They won the presidential election. They won in constitutional referendums. But still a huge segment of the Egyptian society that really did not like them, did not like their conservative outlook. And as a result, we saw these huge protests that pushed Morsi, the Islamist president, from the Brotherhood out of power. But because there were some traditional historic ties between Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood, that's what gave Morsi and the Brotherhood some additional leverage when it came time to negotiate with Hamas.
Kimberly, as we move along here at 580KIDO, what about the ceasefires that from the Israeli side say they don't happen? Hamas wants a ceasefire, then they violate their own ceasefires. Does this play at all in Egypt?
The back and forth of the two sides saying did what doesn't really get much traction here. People here are just paying attention to the numbers of civilians dead and the photos that are sort of splashed all across the television here of women and children who've been killed in Gaza. And that's what's getting most of the attention. The people are watching them mainly to see what Egypt is going to do. A lot of people are using this as a test for the new president, Abdel Fattah, because they do want to see Hamas constrained, because many people here blame Hamas for the militancy in the Sinai Peninsula, the area of Egypt that borders Gaza, and they want to see that controlled, and they're looking to see how Sisi is going to handle this issue with Hamas while at the same time not being too friendly to Israel, which most people here do not want to see their government doing.
Right. On one hand, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, but not if they are the Israelis. The folks in Egypt have been through this for many, many years. Do they think that this is just a latest blip, or is there something bigger to this where Israel, with these tunnels, and people are shocked that the Israelis didn't know anything about the tunnels, and perhaps the Egyptians didn't know about them as well?
Well, the Israeli government says they've known about the tunnels for a long time, but even in recent days, they said that they didn't realize how many of them they were. The destruction of these tunnels is making a lot of news internationally, but here in Egypt, we're used to hearing every week about X number of tunnels into Gaza being destroyed. It's a very common thing because there are just so many of them. But at the same time, it's exactly as you said, the enemy of my enemy, unless it's Israel. And so it's a very complex balance that the Egyptian government has to play, and the Egyptian people are watching very closely.
Kimberly, please be very careful. Thank you for your reporting.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Kimberly Adams joining us live from Cairo, Egypt at 580KIDO. And, this is... we talk about our great nation and how blessed we are, especially here in Idaho, where we don't have to worry about the severe weather. Well, we have to worry about the heat. But when it comes to tornadoes or hurricanes or anything like that, we're very blessed. And we've got a few tragedies that go on, but nothing near to what's going on in the Middle East. And as Kimberly has talked about, this conflict, it's not really a conflict. It's a war. And you don't have to be Jewish to understand the importance of Israel. You don't have to be Jewish to understand the importance of what they're fighting for. And look, I have friends that are Palestinian Christians that are not fans of the Israeli government. But you take a look at, could you imagine your own neighborhood, then, somebody just bombing the heck out of you, and you defend yourself, and then the international community comes down on you? That's what's at stake here. That's what's at stake when we're talking about the Israelis. And, of course, our government kind of just blows it off and, worried about the Palestinians. And, who's going to give up Gaza? And you're thinking, Kevin, Gaza, how does that relate to me? Well, why does foreign policy matter? Why do people vote? Why is it all important? Here, I'm going to sum it up for you here at 580KIDO. Because when we focus in on, ourselves, if you will.
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
Well, how's that working out for us right now? How is allowing the country to be run by his words, not mine, his career path, not mine, a community organizer? Do you want to see more troops going back to the Middle East? Can we really afford militarily, emotionally, physically, spiritually, monetarily, to send troops back to the Middle East? Well, of course not. Of course not. But on the other hand, what's the alternative? When our allies are being attacked and destroyed, this is what happens, I think, when you go part way. And if you got the New York Times yesterday, if you don't, I'll tell you what's going on. It'll be in the Statesman tomorrow. Heck, surprise, 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 surprise. The Taliban is making a comeback. In fact, they're determining whether or not they should attack the cities before or after we leave, because they've had so much success due to our hands-off policy. 747, I'll tell you why that's important next at 580KIDO. Time for traffic.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. By the way, in the 8 o'clock hour, Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch will join us. More on the death of Osama bin Laden. Why can't we see the photos of that? We'll talk to Tom Fitton. You catch him on Fox News all the time here. Kevin Miller, don't forget to check out our loyalty program at 580KIDO.com. Lots of great prizes. There are no gifts, no gimmicks. You're not going to get spammed. And if you do, let me know. But lots of ways to win prizes, and if you're all about winning things for doing absolutely nothing, the loyalty program there, lots of games that you can play on our website. Always encourage that. Look, you got to do something with your time. And speaking of games, how about this? Gambling machines are now operating at LeBlanc Park from Channel 7. The machines were the source of some controversy as state lawmakers approved installing what they're known as historical horse racing machines. Historical horse racing machines. Now, is that the type of pony that you get on at the supermarket? Remember that? Not the little carousel, but the actual pony? No, apparently. Channel 7, they weren't allowed to take their cameras into the facility, but LeBlanc provided them with video and allowed some of the folks to try out the machines. A lot of people say they're similar to standard slot machines like you'd see in Vegas. So, again, they're going back and forth. You can pick horses and everything else. Really, what is this at LeBlanc? It's bringing gambling in. I mean, why don't we just call it that? Isn't it? LeBlanc has been very successful bringing horse racing back. Everybody likes it. It's fun. It's exciting. It's dynamic. Let's go to the ponies. But if you go to most horse racing tracks, you have gambling. Well, yeah, Kevin, you're going to say, well, of course you have gambling at 580-5436. But the gaming machines, oh, it's a harmless vice. I mean, how many of us have been to Jackpot Reno or Las Vegas or Atlantic City or wherever? Why not have a little fun? Well, I don't know. To me, if you're coming to a horse race and to bet on the ponies and to hang out, you do that. Do you really need machines that are, quote unquote, similar to slot machines? I love the reporting here from Channel 7. We found the screens do look similar to slot machines at first glance, but LeBlanc points out there is a difference in that the payout is also based on picking horses that ran in previous races, which players watch archive video of. Look, whether it's LeBlanc or anyone else, you can't really blame these folks for wanting to increase revenue. And whether it's the Indian reservations, whether it's everywhere else, we've seen this across the country, and there's just a matter of time before we have it here. And not that I agree with it, I don't gamble. I don't gamble with my money, but I don't gamble. And before we have it here, we have a place where you can go play the slots, and they'll call it the Lucky Lady Casino or something like that, but the only person lucky is the lady running the casino because you never beat the house. Two things that I think that we're going to have trouble stopping. One, the legalization of marijuana. We see it now in Oregon. That'll be on the ballot. And the other, the expansion of legalized gambling. And I hope that the conservative slash religious community here in the Gem State is enough to stop the gambling. But you see it across the country. People are hurting for jobs. People are hurting for business. We don't make anything anymore. So why should Las Vegas have all the money? Why should Jackpot have all the money? Why should Wild Horse get all the money when you could build one right here and we could keep all the money in Idaho? That's what we're talking about. And people say, well, Kevin, we're just going to have it at the racetrack. Look, the racetrack has a right to make money. I love the crime-fighting, anti-gambling legislature that we have that allowed this loophole to go in. Why? Because LaBoie is a powerful entity. They have powerful friends. And with this additional revenue, they're going to get even more powerful. But do you believe, as I've stated the case to you, and we'll talk about it in the 8 o'clock hour, at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, that you would be comfortable having a gambling establishment? Because once they establish the traditional horse racing machines, then you'll have video poker, then you'll have everything else. I mean, it's very easy to stop this. Okay, do you pledge, not that this means anything, do you pledge not to expand online machine gambling at the racetrack, at the corner store, at the bingo hall? Yeah, we pledge it. And then they come back like a taxi cruise. Well, our studies have shown, I mean, this is just the gateway, right? So I do want to hear from you coming up at 580-5436. Or drop me an email or Facebook me. Should we allow the expansion of gambling machines at the racetrack? Or are you there to watch the ponies? Let's get you to work safely and on time. 7:59, Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up next, the search for Bin Laden. He's dead, but where are the photos? Why haven't we seen them? We'll talk to Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch next.
Serving Emmett, Idaho.